Welcome, everybody, to a new era of Tennessee Titans football and another episode of the Music City Audible Podcast Live, a Tennessee Titans podcast. I'm your host, Justin Graver. Joining me, as always, the managing editor of Titan Size and the publisher of NFL Draft on SI, my co-host, Justin Mello. How is it going today, Justin? How was last night? How you doing?
Well, you know I'm doing well, because the Titans absolutely nailed the rebrand. I absolutely love the jerseys. I think you're nuts if you don't like them. I would honestly give them, what, like a nine and a half out of 10? And maybe that's just because I don't want to go a perfect 10, but they are gorgeous. I mean, the helmet, what an upgrade the helmet is from the boring navy blue they went with in 2018. The jerseys leaning into the Oilers aesthetics. I'm a big fan of that. I think we could probably talk a bit more about that decision, but I've always thought the Oilers aesthetics is the nicest color combo in the NFL. You know, it is what it is. We rightfully own that history, and it is our right, the franchise's right, to kind of bring it back on a full-time basis. So I think they nailed this rebrand totally out of the park. I'm infatuated. The jerseys, the helmets, it looks stunning. I cannot wait for September to get here.
Same. I can't wait to see Cam Ward and company take the field in these uniforms. I thought about that last night, Justin. Like, I was just so excited to watch Titans football again, and obviously we are months away, so push that down, suppress that feeling as much as we can. Welcome everyone to another episode here. We of course are going to react to the new Titans uniforms, logo, word marks, the stripe. Oh, I can't wait to talk about the stripe with you, Justin. I love the stripe. We also have some free agency news. Titans have made, I believe, three additions since our last podcast/live stream, so we'll get into those, but we got to focus right off the bat on the uniforms. Shout out to the Audible Army, the everyday listeners and viewers in this stream right now and watching back. Appreciate all of you guys for tuning in. Let's dive in, Justin. We're going to show some visuals as we go here because it's too good not to show, and sorry to the commenters, I'm going to hide those on the screen here so we can take a look at this. But my goodness, what a beautiful, beautiful uniform the Titans have created. We're going to talk through the details, what everything means. I listened to Burke Nile go interviewed by Amy this morning, so I can talk about that a little bit too. We can also speculate a little on the upcoming rivalry uniforms, but man, this is such a clean look. My first question, Justin, to you is, have you ordered yours yet?
So here in Canada, you know, it's hard to get them. You got to pay duties, but I ordered two new hoodies last night. Couldn't stop myself. I am getting the Cam Ward baby blue jersey, 100%. I wanted the hoodies because, you know, right now it's a little cold here, so I'm going to get immediate use out of them. I got a white hoodie, which is very unlike me, but I don't have much white Titans gear. Now that they go, I'll be getting the baby blue jersey, so I wanted one of the hoodies in white. And then I got the gray hoodie. So much of my Titans gear was already either baby blue or navy blue. So I'm going to save the baby blue, the Columbia blue purchase, for the jersey. With the hoodies, I went white and gray, new logos on them, some of I'm an early bird. You know, I go to bed early, okay? I was shopping online last night at 10:30, looking through all the new gear, and I almost bought everything. The Sherpa, some of the t-shirts, the quarter zips, the windbreaker. Like, there are so many nice swag items that came out from the rebrand. Like I said, I limited myself to two hoodies. They ran me a pretty penny due to the exchange on the dollar plus duties, but I didn't give a damn. I put it through immediately, and I cannot wait to get my, as Jake says, my Titans blue Cam Ward jersey.
Yeah, there you go. I got mine last night, ordered it. A little annoyed about the pre-order aspect of it. I guess that's what you get when you do the reveal on March 12th, and like, remember last reveal they did, obviously everyone remembers, was mid-April, and the jerseys were there ready for fans to buy straight at the event. This time, not exactly the case, but apparently they'll ship on the 17th or so. Mine's expected to arrive on April 21st, which is perfect because it's right before the draft. Super chat just came in here from Tony. The more Houston fans hate this move, the more I love it. We will get to that because that is a great aspect of this, but I don't want to start with it. And we're still very early in this conversation. So yeah, I got my Cam Ward baby blue. Big Jeff looks great in the uniform as well. The red sleeves, I think with that red outline on the numbers, which obviously is a new touch. I think that the red sleeves, the red mouth guards, gloves, cleats, all those accents that players were already wearing the red with will just look so much better now because it's actually incorporated in the jersey itself too. And I did think about this, Justin, because there was a lot of fuss made about the white face masks when we got that detail. I guess that was not last night. We got that in advance, but actually seeing it all together last night. I don't mind the white face mask, actually. I think it's a classic look. It looks great with the helmet, which is obviously also white. And there is a workaround to having a red face mask not having a red face mask is the red mouth guard. And unfortunately, I don't have a shot that includes the red mouth guard here. But when you see the red mouth guard dangling off the white face mask, it actually makes me glad they didn't go with a red face mask because the red on red would look dumb, and the red of a mouth guard is enough of a red accent right there that you don't need it on the face mask as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these accents are just gorgeous, right? Like I'll be honest with you, I'm not super bothered by the face mask. I don't think it's a detail that tends to bother me. My eyes tend to go to the jersey, the number font, the design. I mean, the helmet. I'm so in love with the helmet. I know I already said it, but what an upgrade from a helmet. The logo on the helmet, the stripe down the middle is not something I necessarily anticipated. The font is so beautiful. The outline of the numbers, like, they really, really nailed this out of the park.
Yeah, I agree. So let's get into some of these details here, because I think some of these detail shots are super cool just to understand the why behind the why behind it. But first, another super chat, a huge super chat from Altruistic Fish. Wow. Really appreciate the donation. He says, spent a ton on merch, so might as well put some more here. You guys rule. Well, you rule, because this is an awesome tip, and we appreciate it.
Glad you had a little left over to show MCA some love. We really appreciate that. And I'm glad you got your swag. You're going to look so damn good in your new swag.
Aptly named, by the way. Altruistic. Like, come on, that's perfect. Beautiful. So some of these details.
I think there was another super chat tip right before him. Can we quickly shout out?
Oh, we did get one with no comment from Robert Bernard. Yeah. Thank you, Robert. Appreciate
you. Thank you so much, Robert Bernard. That's awesome.
All right. So the chest plates, first thing I want to point out. On the home blue jersey, it will say Titans in this new font, this new word font. And this is to symbolize, obviously, to pull out that this is a Titans jersey. I don't know if you remember the Oilers throwbacks. There was nothing. There was no text there on that nameplate.
Right, yep.
So this is the Titans. Obviously, it's heavily inspired color scheme-wise by the Oilers, but it's not the Oilers throwbacks. It's not the Oilers uniforms. It is the Titans. And to emphasize that further, on the away jerseys, on the whites, instead of Titans there, it says Tennessee across the chest plate. I think that's a really cool touch. It's kind of like even when we're home, even when we're away, we're representing who we are and we can feel like we're at home or we can bring the home to you. So I don't always love when they are inconsistent from jersey to jersey, but I actually really like it in this iteration.
Yeah, I love it as well. I like that one says Tennessee and that the other says Titans. I think that's a great touch to kind of switch it up. Based on the home and away jersey. I've got thoughts about how, I don't know if we want to get to it yet, but I do have thoughts about how they incorporated, obviously, you know, we're not going to shy away from it. Heavily, heavily Oilers influenced, but the little touches to make sure that it does show, you know, a homage and represents Tennessee and the Titans and the state of Tennessee in general, not just the football team.
Right. Totally agree. And, moving on to the next detail that I think is super cool. The helmet, first of all, I think the helmet looks great with the logo on the side of it. Like, I think they did a really nice job. The placement, the size, like, it doesn't look too big. It doesn't look oddly placed. And not having the flaming thumbtack part coming off of the flaming part of it allows you to center it really in a space. And from a design standpoint, I'm really going to appreciate that as I build graphics and stuff related to the Titans. But it is still the shield. And they point that out. And all the people out there, there's a lot of people out there who are upset that Well, the uniforms, oh, they look cool. The color scheme's beautiful. But where's the Titans tie-in? Like, now it's just a Nashville team and a Houston team, but there's nothing related to Greek mythology or Titans. Well, first of all, the shield has always been a shield, and that's always been sort of a warrior's shield. And they're still using the shield. It's just not on fire anymore. So there is the Titans tie-in there. The main logo itself has a giant T on it, which could stand for Tennessee, but stands for Titans and is a shield. And they pointed out that the shield adorns the side of the helmet while the six-string stripe runs down the center. The helmet's clean white shell is paired with an all-white face mask, as we discussed. So I like it. I mean, we can talk more about the logo in a minute. I have some different visuals for that. But as far as the helmet goes, the white helmet with this shield mark, I think looks great.
I think it looks outstanding. And for those of you saying, you know, if there is anyone saying, I didn't know that, but for anyone saying, oh, it's a Nashville thing, it's not a Tennessee thing. I mean, first of all, like you said, one of the jerseys says Tennessee on it, right? And they did a great job. Don't forget, they're still incorporating here the tri-star symbol, if you will, right? The three stars. Where if you're not familiar, I even know this, and I'm not from there, obviously. It's not a Nashville thing. It's a Tennessee thing, right? It's meant to represent East Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, and West Tennessee, kind of uniting the state together, three grand divisions, if you will, that unite the entire state. So for me, I think they did a great job incorporating not just Nashville lore, but Tennessee lore as well. And obviously the Nashville lore maybe comes in through the guitar stripes, which are such a nice touch and addition because it's so subtle. It looks so good. And it's a great way, in my opinion, to sort of incorporate what, you know, Nashville, Music City, and what makes that a special place.
I totally agree. And as we move on to the stripe, which I absolutely love the stripe. Now, one caveat, I have played guitar since I was 10 years old. So I've been playing guitar for 24 years. So I've always loved anything guitar related. But I love that the six-string stripe, it imitates the iconic stripe. Hang on, sorry, I'm trying to read this. The six-string stripe infuses the iconic stripe from our past with Nashville's deep roots in music. The stripe is featured prominently along the pants, sleeve, and helmet. So I love, first of all, the helmet stripe looks beautiful. Like, it's an awesome looking stripe. I love the play with the navy, as you pointed out, with the light blue, with the red as like a frame for it. And it really looks great. The helmet stripe is phenomenal. But I also, even maybe more so than that, love that it's on the pants. The pants stripe is an underrated aspect of uniforms in general, and I love that we have it running. Like, look, the way it connects from the blue jersey top to Cam Ward's socks in this picture, it's just like, it's such a great accent stripe, and I love the detail of it with, again, those navy thin lines running throughout the middle.
Fully agreed. And before, I don't know if I quickly want to shout out Robert Bernard again for coming through with another super chat tip here. Best Titans pod, you guys rule. Thank you so much, Robert Bernard, for the kind words and for your second super chat tip of the stream. The stripes are incredible. And like you said, all the AI mock-ups, all the, you know, some of the guys nailed it, by the way. I mean, we're close, right? Some of these mock-ups we had seen in recent weeks were really close. I think the biggest surprise and difference, if you will, is the usage of stripes. A lot of those mock-ups did not have enough stripes. Certainly not the, you know, guitar string inspired stripe that runs down the helmet, that runs down the pant, and you nailed it. It's like this Cam Ward aesthetic here, running down the pant, connecting to the blue socks, the red cleats, you know, to kind of match the red accents that are all over the uniform. Just a beautiful aesthetic here on Cam Ward.
And the sleeve stripes are so cool too. The fact that they are the same color base as the jersey itself, and it's more just like lines running through it, I think is an awesome aesthetic. And Justin, I wanted to show off something that I got in 2019 at the draft in Nashville. It's a little, sorry, my camera doesn't autofocus, but I'm just going to hold it up anyway. It's just a little keychain thing. It's in the shape of a guitar. It's this blue color. It says NFL draft on it. I mean, it's kind of like maybe the precursor to what eventually became these stripes on these uniforms. And I want to answer this question here because I do think it's an important one. Hang on, I lost it a second. Where'd it go? It was just here a second ago. Sorry.
Nope, no worries. Did you start it?
I thought I started, but now I'm not seeing it. Anyway, it was a question was, What does a guitar have to... Oh, here it is. Sorry. From the Mighty Fred. What does guitar have to do with the name of the team? The team is called the Titans, not the band. See, Justin, that's what I was talking about. A lot of people are hung up on this. Here's an example for you. What does a giant G have to do with a Packer and cheese? Huh? I mean, that's like... Obviously, the Green Bay starts with a G, Titans starts with a T, and Tennessee starts with a T, and the Titans logo is a giant T. I mean, the Packers, the biggest thing that the Packers have, iconography-wise, is a giant green G. What does that have to do with packing? Can you tell me that? I mean, this is a thing. It's branding. It incorporates different elements of the city, of the name. We talked about the Titans, represented in a shield, represented in that T. There are other elements of the city that can be represented that don't have to tie directly to the Titans mascot or name. So this kind of...
I think it's great when uniforms take the opportunity to add lore to them that makes them unique to where they're from and where they play, and should be a lot of city and state pride, you know what I mean,
for exactly.
the team. And I love incorporating things like... I mean, I don't think I'm alone on that, but...
So my levitating helmet stopped spinning. Is that a bad sign? Question here from LRCX1. Graver, are you going to replace the levitating navy helmet now with the new one? So here's the thing. This was a Christmas gift from my dad like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Great gift from my dad. And I did text him last night, about 9 p.m. Central, a little after the uniform reveal. I said, hey, Dad, I need a new rotating helmet because the Titans changed their logo. And my beautiful fiance, Jessica, got me this sign with the old logo on it. I've got like a pencil holder cup on my desk with the old logo on it. You've got all the stuff in your background. I got up here, you can't see off the view of my screen, but the Titans hats with the old logo. It's like, look, we're going to have to refresh. Some of this stuff's going to be cool. We're going to be like the retro kids with the vintage look when I wear my Titans hat around until I get a new one. But that's part of it. You know what? The team hasn't changed their logo since 1999. So if we have to refresh some things now because they did, sure, it's an opportunity for them to make money. But at the same time, if you make something that is as cool as these new jerseys, you're going to get my money. So that's where I'm at with that. Justin, I want to continue on the details. Party J is an exceptional gift giver, says Jordan Pace. Let's hit this really quick before we continue. I Am Theologic, charter member of the MCM Hall of Fame. Super proud of you guys. Best Titans pod, hands down. Well, thank you for following us to this venture. And, it was great times over there on MCM. I did tell that story yesterday if you missed the live stream. But really appreciate the super chat there.
Incredible super chat tip. I Am Theologic. And thank you for the kind words on the pod. And MCM is still kicking, and in a good way. Jimmy Morris, if you're not familiar, he's been running MCM for what? I don't know, 15 years, 20 years, and it's never changed hands. And Jimmy's incredibly passionate about what we do over at MCM. So, make sure you still head over there.
Having no luck with the spinning helmet, Justin. We'll worry about it later. The nameplate on the back of the jersey. The nameplate uses a Rosser font that is an extension of the wood block inspired word mark. I may have gone out of order here. Oh, well. And the numbers inspired by collegiate style block numbers are classic jersey numbers stand out in white on our primary home jersey and in Titans blue while we're away, both accented with red outlines. I really do love the numbers and the nameplate. Like, I think it is a beautiful look. It's such an upgrade over the numbers that they had on the 2018 jersey release because for multiple reasons. First of all, those were just, objectively not very good looking. Secondly, this is truly timeless. In 10 years from now, these aren't going to look old or out of date. No. In 50 years from now, they're not going to look old or out of date. So I really, really, really like the decisions they made here. And I like the nameplate font. It's got little tiny serifs on the letters, but it's easy to read. It's bigger than the previous nameplate on the old jerseys that we just got rid of. And so it's an upgrade in every possible way. I will point out that the number font looks almost identical, if not identical, to the Oilers uniforms. But you know what? That was a timeless look too. So who cares?
Exactly. Think about it. The Oilers are from the 60s, and we were still talking about how much we love them, right? In 2025. So that goes to show you the beautiful last, timeless last, elegant, classy, you name it. This, I don't think I'd pick another number word font in the world. Like, this is just... Like, looking at this photo, it just looks so damn good. Tony H76 agrees. These new uniforms may be worth 3 to 5 wins, tighten up. An extra 3 to 5 wins is obviously what he means. Thank you so much for the super chat tip. Iron Grids, I appreciate the joke. I was going to make this, but I didn't want to be negative. We're going to be the best looking 6-11 team you've ever seen in 2026. Hey, look good, feel good, play good. You never know.
Justin, before we move on, let's hit this last detail slide, but then I want to hit something. So the accents, you mentioned this a little bit, but here's what the official word from the Titans is. Navy continues in the 6-string stripe, the collar tab, the TriStar vents at the side panels, the Nike swoosh, and the 3D helmet bumpers, and then the tab. The collar tab features the Tennessee TriStar proudly honoring the 3 grand divisions of our home state. Inside of the collar tab is the word "we" to represent the team's "we over me" mentality. Go ahead.
Oh, no, beautiful. Yes. I just pointing out, I didn't watch that Burke Nihil interview yet. So really,
I did,
good.
And I missed this detail, but keep going.
Really good tidbit that he said it's exactly the Oilers number font. I think that's really great. Subtle way to a degree to, you know, pay obvious homage. You know, the color scheme pays homage to them, but it's almost like a little tip of the cap to me in you know, the way they did that.
Can we also, while we're talking about the Oilers homage, just, I'm going to replay a clip from about a year ago that is now feeling more and more appropriate and accurate, and we should have just listened to this all along.
The line again, but here's the last week you said your Houston Oiler jersey will probably never be worn again. You know what people think then, that there's a redesign coming?
Well, probably, because I never say never about anything. You know, in this world we live in now, you can't say never about anything, but... because if I did say never and it did happen, people are going to say, ah.
But Warren, fans think new uniforms are coming. As someone who is very well dressed and plugged into the organization, as one is.
The Tennessee Titans have new uniforms coming, a whole new set. And I've seen glimpses of them, but it's not the Houston Oilers jersey.
I understand. What are these Titans unis look like?
Pretty good.
Are they clean? Are they like futuristic? Give us something.
They fit with the times, but they're also a little futuristic. So they will advance with the times. We'll put it that way.
Death, taxes, Kay drinking too many mint juleps, and Warren Moon breaking news on Titans uniforms. Amy's got to hate me. Miss Strunks, we love you. Sorry, we keep trying, you know, breaking news here.
So anyway, Warren Moon, a long time ago, he didn't say it exactly in that clip, but he did say that they look like the Oilers uniforms, but a little futuristic. And that's pretty much exactly what they are.
a lot of people, we just got a comment, said that Warren hadn't seen them. Definitely not. He got punked by like an AI thing. Either it's one hell of a coincidence, or he did see like a really early, you know, who knows how long they've been working on. I mean, this is a long process. These things don't get cooked up overnight, right? So... who knows? But either way, maybe it's better to be lucky than good, right? Maybe Warren got lucky, but no matter what, he pretty much kind of nailed it.
Yeah. I'm playing now, just on screen in the background here as we talk, the video that the Titans used during the release party and the release shortly after on social media. I believe they shared it with local media members in the afternoon yesterday ahead of the event. Really cool video. Lots of slow-mo shots, lots of different angles to see the uniform from. And I really love this video for multiple reasons. Number one, Justin, imagine how useful this footage is going to be the next time I make a hype video. But number two, it just is so cool. It gives us so many different looks and angles at the uniform, what it's going to look like when we actually see them play. This video got me hyped up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you could see this video and not just immediately fall in love with the entire rebrand. I mean, of course, it had to start with Cam Ward, as it should. How about Shimmeray DK? Says how high they are on him. He was heavily, heavily incorporated in this. Cedric Gray as well. But of course, you know, Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons, the kind of, you know, front-facing in this video. Rightfully so, right? No one wants to see a guard in a release video. So not Peter Skoronski, who's one of their better players. But Cam Ward, Jeffrey Simmons. I mean, the video gave me goosebumps the second it came out.
Same.
Can we, like, shout out the entire Titans marketing department, social media team, Nate Bain, and everyone over there who's so much better than they get, you know, public credit for. A lot of complaints about how they did this. All the content that came out immediately after the reveal, the explanations, every slide you just put up on screen, not just the photos, but, you know, this is what the stripes mean. This is what this, like, they were prepared for this, no doubt about
it. Oh, yeah.
And it really just, really a stunning job all around the organization.
I think this logo looks so good on the flag, by the way, as we see it here. It's like the best usage of the logo that I've seen so far. But to your point, yeah, I totally agree. This is another video, a little BTS they released of after this shoot. I totally agree. Like, there was nothing that felt botched to me. Like, as soon as the reveal happened, you could go to fanatics.com or NFLshop.com or whatever and place your order for this merchandise immediately, which was, you know, nothing was... And I've seen some people take issue with the way the Titans rolled this out. And I want to, like, push back on any issue anyone takes with that, because I think that the way they rolled it out is the perfect way for a team that's gone 3-14, two seasons in a row, to roll it out. The entire fan base was pumped and excited for this. We've been talking about it for months. You and I, our best podcast ever by thousands and thousands of views, was talking about the uniforms and the information that we got from Zach Cohen, who's done a phenomenal job with all this. But the way that they rolled it out, it was sort of this more quiet underground thing. Like, they didn't invite everybody to down to Broadway to do a release like they did the last time. They had a small 4,500, you know, VIP style audience live. They had it all recorded. They posted the video immediately on YouTube. They had all these videos ready to go on Twitter. But you didn't need this big, you didn't need to make a big thing out of it, because the fans are excited enough already and the people who really care. And at the same time, it's sort of taking this approach to say, we know we got to go win on the field before any of this really matters. So, because what's the opposite reaction is if they go push this everywhere and make a humongous deal out of it, you're going to get national media and fan bases from other teams and people saying, okay, you guys are focusing a lot on the uniforms. How about you focus on trying to win games? You know, so I like the way that they did this. And also just to that point, like the fact that Shimmer Adike is heavily featured in the videos and the rollout and all the materials just goes to show you the state the roster is in right now and how few stars they have. He's their all pro. Put him out there. He's an exciting young player. Hopefully he continues to ascend. But anyway, I really appreciated this sort of low-key nature of the rollout, because it wasn't low-key for us. It was just low-key from the team side until they were released. And then it's like, here's material. Here's material. Here's background. Here's photos. Here's videos. Here's another video. Here's like a whole narrative video over 2 minutes long, which I want to talk about in a second. But I love the rollout, actually.
Yeah, I think they did a great job. And I don't understand anyone who's like, you know, go win, go win. We all want them to win. We know they've got to be better. Stop trying to decide what fans should have fun about and fun over. Like, uniforms are fun. Jerseys are fun. Logos are fun. Being a fan of a sports team is supposed to be fun. And that, you know, comes with the territory, in my opinion. So stop being the fun police and trying to tell people what they should or shouldn't get excited over. Titans fans had every right to get excited about this, and you should love them because they absolutely knocked it out of the park.
I totally agree. Justin, we need to take a break for our audio listeners, but we haven't talked about the logo yet at all, and I really want to talk about that. So we will be right back.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Craving the coffee flavor you love, but without the caffeine? Ka'Chava's got you covered with their newest coffee flavor. This all-in-one nutrition shake delivers bold, authentic flavor crafted from premium decaffeinated Brazilian beans. Quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Whether you're craving that coffee taste to kickstart your morning ritual or as a nutrient-packed reward to round out your afternoon, Ka'Chava keeps you fueled and satisfied wherever your day takes you. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. And for the times you feel like switching it up, you've got 7 flavors to choose from, all with the highest quality ingredients. Treat yourself to the flavor and nutrition your body craves. Go to ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get 15% off their first order. That's ka'chava.com, code FITNESS.
Welcome back to the audio audience. Justin, I want to talk about the new logo, the unveiling of it, and sort of more about the event itself, because I think there's more we can dive into there with the way that it was hosted by Kyle Brandt, and Eddie George was the one who delivered an incredible monologue to sets to some incredibly epic music, I think Battlefield music, as they right before they walked the players out. Taylor Zarzor there doing like sort of PA announcer stuff. He had a behind the scenes moment with the players in the like green room or whatever. It was like all set up and sort of scripted, but really cool. I think they did a great job with the party itself. But the logo, I want to talk about the new logo because it's going to take me a little bit of time to connect personally with this logo, but I do like it. And we've seen the logo for weeks now, so we're not going to spend as much time on it. I really wanted to talk about the word marks and the font and stuff, but over to you first.
No, I mean, listen, the logo didn't blow me away the first time I saw it. I do think it's very modern in terms of a lot of, you know, NBA teams have all gone to like these, you know, circular logos. So I did kind of wish at the time when they released that it was a bit more unique, but I love the color scheme, the red, the Titans blue, the white, and it looks so good on the new gear. Like it looks incredible on the gear that was released last night on Fanatics. It looks really good on the hats, the sweaters, the windbreakers, you name it. So I've definitely already, it's already grown on me a lot. I'll say that.
Yeah. And then the secondary logo, this is the stuff that I'm really excited about, especially that script cursive Titans. I think that is so clean, so nice. It's going to look so good on merch, as you said. They're calling it the handcrafted script. And then the football, this new secondary mark. The sword is dead. RIP to the sword. RIP to the flaming thumbtack. The old era of Tennessee. The thing that a lot of people who are not associated with the Titans called like Arena League looking style uniforms and style logos. Now, here's the cool thing about the NT and the TN. You can read it both ways. TN is obviously the abbreviation for the state of Tennessee. And NT could read like Nashville, Tennessee. So a really nice job here with the intricacies. And anyone who says that they're copying the Yankees, obviously the Yankees do the NY with the letters inside each other like that. And they also have a cursive script Yankees thing. Screw you. I don't care. I like this. And I don't care if it is a little bit reminiscent of the Yankees in some ways.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. But I will say I am a bigger fan of the handcrafted script. The cursive
looks
so beautiful. That to me is going to be my, in my mind, that's my, you know, personally, the secondary logo for me.
And then we have the word marks, the Tennessee Titans primary, and then the drop shadow version, bringing back that red outline, all the different angles of the helmet below where you can see the stripe, you can see the logo on the side. I am so excited to watch this team play football in these uniforms. I don't have much else on this conversation, Justin. There are a lot of chat questions specifically pertaining to the uniforms and the reveal that we can go through maybe. But man, is this a cool, what just happened? Is this a cool day for Titans fans?
Nailed it. Head over to TennesseeTitans.com, wherever you get your gear, NFL shop. You are not going to regret it, man. All this stuff is so beautiful.
All right, let's see if there are any chats here that we can hit. I mean, we sort of touched on this one, but back to this issue. Uniforms are clean. My biggest issue is it's just not Titans anymore. It's Oilers. Understand the history, but Ravens don't do Browns jerseys. Well, the Ravens can't do Browns jerseys because the Cleveland Browns, I think, sued the city of Baltimore or the New Orleans franchise. They worked out a whole like legal resolution that Cleveland got to keep its history. You know who didn't do that? Houston. And you know what? Everyone in Houston who wants to say, oh, but the H-Town Houston University jerseys, these look just like those. No, those look just like these. Those were a copy of the Oilers, okay? And it doesn't belong to Houston. You went off on this earlier, but I didn't get a chance to. Houston fans, you have a team. You have colors. Why do you care what we're doing in Nashville? Why do you care? Let it go or be a Titans fan. You have two options. You can't root for the Texans, love the Texans, and say, oh, but we want our Oilers colors. That's a different team, a different franchise, a different owner, a different everything. So I don't understand why Houston fans think they can own both. You don't get both. If you really love the Oilers scheme and colors and history, then you should be a Titans fan. Okay? That's where I fall on it, and I think it's ridiculous, and I'm just prepared, Justin, for the national. It's already started, especially the guys out of Houston, but when I haven't paid attention to any talk shows today, I'm sure if, I mean, we're the Titans, right? So it's not like we're going to get a ton of airtime on these TV shows anyway. But if we get any airtime on these shows, aside from Kyle Brandt on Good Morning Football, it's probably going to be about how the Titans have copied the Oilers and stolen their history. So prepare yourself for that, Titans fans. We're going to have to fight it off. It's about the we. We're all going to come together as fans and fight off these lunatic, idiot people who don't have any comprehension. And one of those people, Justin, is going to be me fighting Dan Hansis on Monday's Heed the Call. I already know because he's already tweeted about it.
I figured, and I can't wait. I hope you do a hell of a job defending our team and the state here. Listen, if the Houston Oilers wanted to keep the history, they should have kept the Houston Oilers. I wrote a book on the history of the team. I did all the research imaginable on that move, okay? Bud Adams was right. Was he a pain in the ass? Yes. Was he right that that team needed a new stadium to stay in the state of Houston? He was. Petty politicians didn't like Bud Adams, and they allowed that, their personal feelings, to drive their decision-making. If they wanted to keep the history and the colors, they should have kept the Oilers. They didn't. It's their fault. At the end of the day, no one could push back on this one fact. They proved him right the second they built a new stadium years later. They did not have a stadium to support a football team. They did not. I spoke to one source, okay, when I was writing the book that said the Houston Oilers, by the time they agreed to leave, they had become third priority in that stadium. Number three, not only was it the baseball team that took number one, but the freaking rodeo. They treated the damn whatever animal stupid rodeo thing more important than they did the football team, okay? They should have built a stadium. They admitted it the second they built one for the Texans to come. And it was only a couple of years. It was a lot shorter than people realize. What was that? 5 years later, they got their a football team back. Okay. It's their fault. They've got no one to blame but themselves. The history rightfully moves with the Titans. You can't boo-hoo go walking around boo-hooing. Okay. They had Bud Adams is from Houston. You think he wanted to move that football team? He gave them every chance to keep them. They did not do it. It's their fault. The history moves with the franchise.
Here's a good comment. The Raiders should have left the history and colors in Oakland. Kansas City should have kept their brand in Dallas. Cardinals in St. Louis. Colts in Baltimore. Well, yeah, these are all great examples. And nobody gets mad at any of these other teams. They only get mad at the Titans. Why? Because the Houston Oilers colors is the best color scheme in sports, and everybody recognizes it. And look, this is not an attack. I will say, like, there is a distinction between the city politicians not supporting Bud Adams' new stadium and the fans who lived in Houston who had their hearts ripped out when the team moved.
Absolutely. The fans didn't deserve it. I'm not saying they did. I'm not that gutless. But unfortunately, we're not in control. The Seattle Supersonics fans didn't deserve losing that iconic basketball team that I wish would come back someday. Like, the unfortunate reality is football is a business at the end of the day. And, you know, politicians who know nothing about the sport, don't have a passion for the sport, they're the ones. Greed, relationships, egos ultimately is what drives these decisions. Those Houston fans did not deserve that. That team was iconic to the city. And listen, even as a Titans fan, I could say they should have kept them. Of course they should have kept them. That team in the cop cars were Columbia Blue. Like, that football team was so rooted in the city. It was, absolutely. It hurt them, and they did not deserve it. At the end of the day, the politicians dropped the ball, and that's what drives these things. It's the ugly side, the ugly reality. Fans are not in control, and the Houston Oilers fans did not deserve that, not at all. It is what it is.
Many of them did follow the team, obviously, from a distance now, and and there's plenty of fans like that. There's a comment here from Alex Eckley. We love the Titans here, but you won't find me defending Bud Adams for trying to get the city of Houston to cover the cost while being a billionaire. Look, the city of Nashville is covering a huge amount of the cost for the Titans' new stadium. The city of Houston paid for a new stadium 5 years later. As you just said.
Wasn't it just in the news lately that the Chiefs owners, they want to make upgrades and they've won a bunch of Super Bowls lately and they're telling me they're trying to get the city. The city always, I mean, it's just the way it goes. They always expect some kicking from the city. I get the thought process, you know, billionaires are greedy and all that. But it's, again, it's business at the end of the day, and teams bring in a lot of revenue for the city, tourism and all that. The city, it benefits from that. So, it's not unique. Bud Adams wasn't the only NFL owner who's trying to get a city to cover costs of stadium. Like you said, the city and the state are both helping cover the costs of the new Titan Stadium, and it happens pretty much every single time a new stadium is built.
Yep. Shout out to Mibanez. Gosh, yeah. That can't be how you say it. New unis will be great for free agency press conferences as well. I agree. Somebody did a Photoshop of Wandale in the new unis and put it on social media yesterday. I saw that looked really, really cool. Comment from Rice Skull. These jerseys are instantly tops in the league and will 100% be timeless, unlike our last unis and anything that focused on the sword or flames. I totally agree with that.
I also think we might have missed this super chat tip here from Irvin Miller, 1823. Thank you so much, Irvin. We appreciate that.
We really appreciate it. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about. I didn't have a chance to talk about yet. I mean, I sort of forgot, actually, is the video that they did that was the narrative. I brought it up briefly, but I didn't get to talk about it, where it starts with, in 1999, a young man has a son, and he's wearing his Titans hat, and it goes through basically the kid's life and all these iterations, and Javon Kearse is in the video 27 years later, playing himself from 1999, throwing the ball or the jersey or something to somebody in the stands. And I mean, that video gave me all of the feels. The Music City Miracle being called in that, although I will say the characters were watching it on the broadcast television and somehow Mike Keith was calling the play. Neither here nor there. It gave me goosebumps the size of a mountain, and I was sitting there watching it next to my fiance, showing it to her, and she couldn't understand why my arms were suddenly prickly. But you know what? That's part of being a Titans fan. And then all the way through to the new era, and of course, you know, there's a little bit of a continuity mishap there, as because you know how it ends, is like suddenly it's like 30 years into the future. The man goes from being like 50 to 80, and his son goes from going to college to having his own kids. And I was like, well, this is the future. This is like the new era of the Titans. But then Cam Ward comes running out of the tunnel, and I'm like, well, the timeline's a little messy here. But you know what? Who cares? It elicited the exact emotional reaction in me that I think the filmmakers were going for there. So hats off to whoever directed, shot, and produced that, because it was really well done. Editing too, music, all of it was really, really nice.
Yeah, it was beautiful. That was one of my favorite. I mean, that one and the actual release video with Cam Ward sitting in the locker coming out. That was the first one that dropped, obviously. Both of those videos were outstanding.
Yeah, this is a good shout from TQ. Even seeing LP Field. Yeah, all the old touches that were in there. I mean, really, really cool. Commercial was cheesy and predictable and still quite excellent. Really well done. I mean, I guess. I don't know. There was something I wanted to hit on the Navy. Oh, first this question, Justin. You want to take this one? Because we got this on Twitter, too. I don't know if anyone saw from 2252 Nemesis. I don't know if anyone saw, but they made new jerseys for Ridley, Sneed, and Pollard. Is this a sign that they don't plan on cutting them?
No, not at all. I just think kind of what happens. I'll be shocked if Sneed is still on the team this time next week. I think I'd say I'd be pretty surprised. I think Ridley and Pollard are TBD. I don't think we know for sure that they're cutting those guys. I've become kind of 50-50 on them, especially because they haven't done anything at running back in free agency. And they didn't do enough. Yeah, I hear you. They didn't do enough at wide receiver, I think, to definitely justify cutting Ridley. So I'm 50-50 on those guys. But Sneed, I mean, I'd be stunned.
Yeah, I agree. All right, on the two-tone blue aspect, I'm going to pair these two comments together. Mr. Chainsaw 182, is two-tone blue now officially gone, though, as the Navy is the least prominent of the four colors and sort of the opposite side? When in doubt, throttle out. Great name. Yeah, love the Navy accent, and then add a Navy jersey, which might be the rivalry jersey. So we talked about this with Zach Cohen about a month and a half, 2 months ago now. About what the rivalry jersey is going to look like, maybe the oiled out midnight oil, burning the midnight oil, something along those lines. I definitely think that's where you see the Navy come back prominently. Burke Nihil teased in his interview with Amy earlier, Amy Wells, that came out, I guess, last night or this morning. I don't know. I saw it this morning. That the Navy, he basically said, don't worry, the Navy will come back in a way that will make you excited, or something, paraphrasing, something along those lines. So I definitely expect that you've seen the mock-ups already, probably, if you're on Twitter, of the Navy jersey with the script font that says Music City across the chest plate. I think that would be an awesome touch. I'm all in. They could be black, they could be Navy. I will be all in either way. I think that is definitely what we're going to see when the rivalry uniforms are announced.
I think from a branding perspective, it just makes so much sense. It's really smart that, you know, you've got the Titans blue home jersey, you've got the white away jersey. The rivalry is almost certainly going to be Navy, and a nod to those who are going to miss the Navy part of the, you know, two-tone blue Titans. In fact, I would argue, we just had a comment, that two-tone blue is kind of dead, right? Like, this is the new way. It's Titans blue and it's the icy whites. So, But I do think the rivalry, really smart to go in the direction of Navy, to shout out all the, you know, OG Titans fans who loved our two-tone blue and loved the Navy aspect of it. So definitely, if you want the Navy jersey, wait for the rivalry concept, because you're really going to love it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And this is a good point here in the chat. Also have the alternates being revealed next year when the new stadium opens. Right, the rivalry jerseys will serve as, I guess, the alternate for this upcoming season, because they only have the two, the blue and the white. But after this season, going into the new stadium, they will have a third jersey that they can wear three times a year. Maybe it'll be a throwback to the Titans 1999 to 2018. No, yeah. I don't think so. That was a joke. But yeah, I mean, these are the only two jerseys you get this year, which is kind of interesting. Obviously, the rivalries, but in terms of official Titans jerseys, yeah, it's cool.
And well, on the whole, sense. No point introducing an alternate this year when you're going to have the rivalry. Derek, we think the rivalry comes out. What is it? It's usually much later.
Yeah, I think August.
I think August. Yeah, you could probably expect the rivalry around August.
There was one other question in here that I think somebody may have responded to in the chat, but I wanted to talk about it. Is Kyle Brandt from Tennessee? What was his purpose? So Kyle Brandt just is like the one national media member who continues to pump the Titans in all of his coverage. He's the one guy who was talking nonstop about Cam Ward, saying this kid needs more media attention. He went out on stage and made a joke. He was like, tonight we're going to do something all the national talking heads hate to do. We're going to talk nothing but the Titans. And it's sort of like the same joke that he continues to use. But you know what? It worked in this setting, and I was all in with that. And I thought he actually did an incredible job as a hype man, just like,
he's great
just
at what
brought
he does.
The energy. I know, but he did it really well. And I'm glad they got him. I'm glad they got Eddie to do the actual unveiling. But no, Kyle Brandt is not from Tennessee. He just is a very recognizable NFL media figure who was down to come pump up the Titans, and he did it wearing his Angry Runs Cam Ward shirt because Cam Ward got the Angry Runs scepter for that stiff arm he put on. I think, was it a Texans defender or Cardinals defender? I can't remember now. But yeah, really, really cool to see Kyle Brandt there.
Oh.
Thank
Shout
you,
out LRXC1. $5 super chat tip. Thank you so much for the generosity. He says, I don't get why so many people are clamoring for red face masks. Red face masks would take away from the stripe on the helmet, white all the way. I don't disagree. And like we said, a lot of ways to incorporate the red accents. You saw Jeffrey Simmons do a great job of that with the sleeves and the cleats and the red mouth guard that Graver pointed out earlier. There'll be lots of red accents to go with it. I have no problem with the white face mask. Thank you again for the super chat tip. You're awesome.
Yeah, totally agree with that. All right, Justin, let's take our last audio break here, and then we'll come back and hit the free agency updates that we have not talked about yet. But man, these uniforms are awesome. All right, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the audio audience. We're going to move this along to our next topic. Free agency, resetting where the Titans are at. They've hit almost every position on my checklist, Justin. Just a few outstanding items like a running back, which had a question mark, a wide receiver, which had a question mark, right guard. Hello, right guard. Paging anyone to play right guard. Kevin Zeitler, where you at? Make it, I mean, whatever. There's plenty of time. And then on the defensive side, like starting defensive end, you could argue they have not filled that spot yet. But maybe they will, maybe they won't. And linebacker upgrades. So those are pretty much the only positions we're still waiting to see if they will do something extra at. Because yesterday, they had two safeties and a tight end. They added Tony Adams, who played for Saleh with the Jets. Wow, stop me if you've heard that one before. And they added Jarek Reed, who is sort of a special teams ace and has also played for the Titans before. And they also added a tight end, Justin.
Yeah, Kyler Granson. I think I'll run through rapid fire on my thoughts here. First of all, I thought, well, shout out C Wagoner 1973, $4.99 super chat tip. Awesome time to be a fan and so glad to have you guys talking through it all. Best Titans podcast out there. Tighten up. Wow. We appreciate the kind words so much. Really, it means the world to us. And thank you so much for the very generous super chat tip. Number three safety was on my list. I think I probably talked about it more than most people did. After they cut Xavier Woods, I thought it was a pretty obvious need. Mike Brown signs elsewhere in free agency with the New England Patriots. You've got two injury-prone starters in Imani Hooker and Kevin Winston. They needed a third safety, and I wanted it to be a veteran. I didn't want them to use another draft pick there after taking Winston a year ago. I think Tony Adams makes sense. I think he's the quality of a number three safety. He knows the scheme. He knows the defense. Exactly the type of move they should have made at number three safety. Jarek Reed was claimed off waivers by the Titans last year. So I believe I think he finished the year with them as well. And he's going to be a special teams guy. Remember, I just talked about losing Mike Brown. Mike Brown was a really good special team safety. I think Jarek Reed's probably the like-for-like replacement there. When they claimed him off waivers from Seattle, they really liked him in Seattle. They wanted him back on the practice squad. I think he's even quality enough to be your number four safety, like a Kendall Brooks was last year. So good move there. The Kyler Granson one surprised me a little. I thought they were done at tight end. But listen, competition for someone like David Martin Robinson's not a bad thing. Someone just pointed out he does got the chig frame, or if I'm recalling correctly, and I remember him coming out of SMU, I think it was. He's like a little stockier and that stouter, undersized build. In that pass-catching mold, not a blocker. So David Martin Robinson's a similar player from a pass-catching first perspective. So he'll compete there, and his frame, for a roster spot, he'll compete, and his frame is a little closer to Chick.
Couple more super chats we got to hit. Walmart Man 31, my final uniform thoughts. In 2018, I wanted so bad for a lighter blue primary and more red. So despite the loss of the sword, I am happy. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, this is so much better than the 2018 rebrand. Even if you missed the sword or the two-tone blue, there's no way anyone in their right mind. You got bad taste if you do, if you like the 2018 rebrand better than this one. No way.
I mean, I liked it at the time because it was new and cool. But like after a couple of years, it was like, okay, these uniforms actually kind of suck.
I think we got swept up in the initial excitement, but we could all look back and admit it was a big miss.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, the Titans have been pushing this light blue move for a couple of seasons now. Like, they didn't even wear the navies last year. So, like, they've been prepping us for this eventuality. And here we are. We finally have it. And another super chat here from Lerndos. Is Adams a step up or even with Pinnock in terms of role and ability? So that's Tony Adams and Jason Pinnock.
I don't rate Pinnock very highly at all. I would say it's definitely not a step back. It's at worst a wash, but I think my opinion, I would say that Adams is a little bit better than Jason Pinnock. So, but again, in the vein of what we should have been expecting at number three safety, veteran guy who knows the coaching staff, knows the playbook well. And look, if they wanted Jason Pinnock, they would have signed Jason Pinnock. It's not a very hard thing to do. So they preferred Tony Adams. So that's what Robert Saleh wanted, clearly. And he goes and gets a guy that he knows, like Graver said, stop us if you've heard it before.
Yeah. And Atlas says, with all these super chats, Graver can almost buy a gallon of gas. Like, we're not going to talk politics on here. Gas is expensive. Luckily for me, I drive a Tesla because of the shape of the T is so resembling of my favorite football team that I had no other choice. But I don't need gas. But I appreciate this comment. What I can buy with all these super chats is my own hoodie. You already got a hoodie. I already got a jersey. Now we can swap. You got two hoodies. You can get a jersey. Now I can get a hoodie thanks to you guys with all the super chats. Chase Jones says, win unis, F the negative comments, ordered my gear as well. Also, Graves, pull that guitar out on stream and bless us one day. Much love, Audible Army. Maybe one day in the deep off season when we're struggling for content, I'll pull a Scotty Colts and make a Titan song or something. No, I'm not going to do that. But
very generous super chat tip. Thank you so much for the $9.99 tip. And agreed on all fronts about the comment. Yeah, look at Graver with the humble brag.
So here's what happened. My fiance drove a Volkswagen. I had a Nissan because I'm a Titans fan. So Nissan That's Stadium, obviously, Titans had to buy a Nissan. It was a total coincidence. But yes, I drove a Nissan.
Fans that bought Broncos in the OJ days. That's like right. That's a serious nod to the Titans right there.
What happened was we decided to trade in our two cars for one. So that's what we did. We are a one-car household. We both work from home. There's no reason to have two cars. And when you do something like that, then you can get fancy and get a Tesla with the
one car. He's not as rich as you think he is, ladies and gentlemen. He traded two cars for one. They got to share the car. Listen, okay, just continue with the super chat tips. Don't listen to Graver's fancy. He's getting married in May. He needs all the super chat tips he can get.
It was not a Nissan Titan, by the way, my old car. It was a Nissan. Is it bad if I don't remember the freaking model car that I used to drive?
Wow, that's Was it a Rogue? Was it a
No, it was a it was Altima? A coupe. I don't think it was the Altima though. It might have been, maybe.
That's wild that you don't remember. That's crazy. Yeah, who knows? Sentra, a Nissan Sentra?
Sentra. Somewhere. There you go. It was a Sentra.
30 FPS watching you from afar.
All right. Any other free agency thoughts? Any questions in the chat we haven't hit yet? I feel like we've been going for almost an hour, but I want to just keep going. Like, I just want to keep talking about this beautiful rebrand. Oh, there was a question about 2018. Was that a rebrand or just a refresh on the uniforms? Not technically a rebrand because they didn't change the logo.
Good point. This is definitely more of a rebrand.
This is the first rebrand since they became the Titans, right?
Yes. Let's keep in mind, it makes so much sense with going into the new stadium. I think going into the new stadium, which is going to be stunning, by the way, great idea to go in with a refreshed, not just a facelift, a refreshed look, a full-blown rebrand as it's being positioned. And correct, this will be the final rebrand, LRX. I agree, because they're aligning it with the new stadium, and it just, God, they've done such a good job with this thing.
I do have one other thing to talk about, Justin, on free agency, and this is more big picture, broad free agency talk, but let's take a look at this thing called the Improvement Index. Kevin Cole runs a Substack called Unexpected Points, and he has this posted on his Substack. It's called Improvement Index. It is a points-based improvement in the NFL plus-minus based on off-season roster moves and draft value. That's an important caveat there. Why are the Browns at the top of this list when all they've basically done is sign offensive linemen? Because they have two first-round picks, including number 6 overall. The Jets are number 2. The Jets have been signing a bunch of guys who are all, I think the average age of the Jets additions is 31, while the Titans' average age of their additions is, I believe, 27. So that's a big difference. And the Titans are 3rd on this list. The Titans are apparently the 3rd most improved team in the NFL this offseason so far, or the chance to be that once the draft passes, depending obviously who they pick, Jeremiah Love. Now, Dan Hans, as we did this on Heed the Call yesterday, actually, Justin, so I'm a little bit stealing. I mean, I pitched it to Dan and Mark to put it on Heed the Call, so it was my idea. I'm not like stealing the content from Heed the Call. Really, they're stealing the content from me, but that is my job as the producer of the show. Now I'm rambling. Dan pointed out that the top 3 teams on this list were the 3 of the worst 6 teams in the NFL last year. So, of course, there's nowhere to go but up. The Rams being at 4 is kind of scary because the Rams almost got to the Super Bowl, right? And they've gotten this much better. But the other thing we can do with this list, Justin, is laugh at our foes. The Texans are the 4th team going in the negative direction. The Jags are the 4th to worst team in terms of improvement. And the Colts at the very bottom.
I never understand what the Texans are doing on the offensive line. Like, I thought it was weird when they traded Laremy Tunsil last offseason. Now I think it's weird that they traded Titus Howard. Mind you, they did sign, I think, Braden Smith from the Colts, who is a good right tackle. So maybe that was a sideways move, but they always kind of confuse me a little bit. They added Reed Blank. I mean, like, they got a good team, right? The truth is
Sheldon Rankins, Reed Blankenship. Yeah, they've reinvested in that defense that was already probably the best in football.
They brought in David Montgomery. That's one I forgot as well. Like, that was, you know, I think upgrades what they had at running back last year, especially because Woody Marks was hurt so often. So
overpaid for an aging running back, but yes, I agree.
It was a trade, right? I don't think they gave up anything.
Yeah, they overpaid in the trade. They gave up like a 4th-round pick for David Montgomery. Like, give me a break. How did the Browns get 2 first-round picks? They traded back and allowed the Jags to draft Travis Hunter, which is also why the Jags and the Colts are so low on this list. It's because neither team has a first-round pick this year.
Yes, if you don't remember, that was the trade. I think Cleveland won that trade. Like, I mean, they got that's crazy. They got number 24 overall in that move. But they also drafted a really good player still last year in Mason Graham, I think, the D tackle when they moved down. And I don't know that Jacksonville's move up for Travis Hunter is going to be paying the dividends they think it will.
I agree. I think, like, they paid a lot of money for Adoree Jackson.
He's a corner. He's a corner
who plays maybe 5 snaps a game on offense, maybe, right? I mean, spot duty.
By the way, pretty funny that someone asked about Jason Pinnock and he just signed with the New York Giants 2 seconds ago.
Wow. Breaking news, Justin. Chris Lawrence, we love you, Chris. The crappiest rosters with the most amount of cap should have more improvement. Very true. Very, very true.
It should be the Titans and the Raiders. That's just, the nature of the beast.
Yeah, absolutely. The Titans improving. There's nowhere to go but up. They are doing that. And I think, this was an interesting question about Arvell Reese. Justin, I'm assuming this is Arvell Reese.
I didn't see that one. You saw it. And while you're looking for it, I'm going to put up the Atlas comment here because I'm crying out loud here. Going live daily has kept people from receiving their packages on time. It's MCA's fault that I keep – listen, your job doesn't care about you as much as we care about you. So keep neglecting that work and keep joining the live stream. You're just a number at your job most of the time. This is real love.
Yeah, and you know what? You're not just a number to us. You're the guy who owes us a Mike Borgonzi face tattoo, Atlas. I was going at it with Atlas on Twitter last night. Here's what I was going to say. Apologies for joining just before noon Eastern, but you two seem a little higher on Reese than consensus. Is that Arvell Reese? Is it crazy to think he could be in play if the Titans trade down 5 spots or so? Look, from everything I've gathered, and if you look at the betting markets, at least the last time I looked, I haven't looked in a week or so, but the last time I looked, Arvell Reese was minus odds, which, if you don't know what that means, is heavy favorite to go number 2 overall to the New York Jets. So if the Titans trade down 5 spots and Arvell Reese is still on the board, there's something insanely unpredictable, Laremy Tunsil gas mask levels of insane happening to push him down the board that far.
I wouldn't say either of us are higher on Reese than consensus. I think everyone's pretty high on him. I still think he's probably going to go number 2 to the Jets. I mean, I think there are a lot of guys in play there. Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, David Bailey. But if I was a, I mean, I literally write mock drafts, and I've been going Arville Reese there, number two to the Jets, pretty consistently. I am high on him. I think he's going to be a really impactful front seven defender, and I still think he might be able to make a full-time transition to edge. He was super athletic at the combine. You want that athleticism. His size doesn't scream edge, but he ran 4.46. He's a freak athlete. Yeah, I like Arville Reese a lot. I think a lot more than some Titans fans do.
And Atlas wants to know, why is Sonny Styles not considered a safer bet than Reese? Reese is pure projection.
I think what's interesting here is, Sonny Styles is a safer bet because he's a linebacker and he's going to play linebacker. I think what excites people about Reese is the potential to play a more premium position at edge. But I agree, if we're evaluating them as both linebackers, then Sonny Styles is the safer prospect.
But why? This feels like the Jags not taking Aiden Hutchinson. Who? The Titans?
Regarding what? Explain that, listen, we will answer that question. Good one from Rumhum. Okay, get to the super chat tip first here.
Yeah, from Nathan Smith, another super chat. Haven't copped any new merch yet, so here you go. Also, all this hubbub about unis being two Oilers. The point is this new look will become associated with Titans in time. Great point.
Give this, 15, 20 years. It's going to take time, but give it 15, 20 years and it's the Titans. It's nothing else.
Yeah. All right. Here's the question you want to get to from Rumham. Mello, would you take Reese, Bain, or Bailey at four if we don't go Love?
I can't quit Reuben Bain. I love
me neither.
Him so much. I know
the workout other- video that just was posted of him yesterday.
The workout video yesterday. See the bend and how low,
I'm going to go try to grab that. Let me go try to grab that.
You're going to put it up on stream.
I'm going to try to grab it. I got to find it. I don't here
Trevor's
it is.
Oh, Sakema tweeted it yesterday. So go to his page. Yeah. Oh, no, he tweeted the screenshot of the
He's
photo.
Got. I found it, though. He quote tweeted the actual Perfect. Thing. So
I love Reuben Bain, man. I really love him. I know the short arms are a thing. I'm not pretending they're not, but I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they don't go Jeremiah Love, who I still think is the best option for this team right now this year, and I know the edge room is not in a great place, but, like, the edge room is in a good enough place that you can survive a season like that when you're not trying to win the Super Bowl this year. If they go out and prove that they can be competitive with the offense that they're putting together with a new superstar running back to take pressure off your quarterback, then I'm okay with them not having the strongest group of edge rushers, especially when you consider who they have on the interior and the flexibility to put both Jeffrey Simmons and John Franklin Myers at the edge spots on certain downs. So anyway, here's the Reuben Bain video if you haven't seen it, because I didn't mean for the sound to play. I'll just take that out of there. One more time, the bend. This is what we talk about when we... The ankle flexion there. Oh, yeah. My God, Justin. Yeah. I'm sorry, but David Bailey can't do this. David Bailey can't do this.
I agree. He doesn't have the ankle flexion. He doesn't have the flexibility, change of direction ability. Good question here that I do want. I love draft questions, so I'll always answer them. Even if they go Love at number four, if I was choosing between these two prospects, even though I've been freaking banging the table for edge, I would take Omar Cooper. I really like Omar Cooper. They need a wide receiver. A.J. Brown vibes. I hate to say it, but how stout and physical he is, the way he generates yards after catch due to physicality, just a couple of routes, man. Dig, seam, slants. I really like him. He's tough. He's physical at the catch point. I'm a huge Omar Cooper guy. I think he's going in the first round, but I'm a huge fan.
Oh, yeah, this is interesting. There was this clip circulating. Maybe I'll go pull this too, Justin. You talk for a second. Read this comment, talk about it, and I'll be right back.
Yeah, Salah had an interview where he said he'll play JFM at end on early downs. I think this rules out Bain. It's an interesting point. I do think he's flexible enough to play out there on occasion, on early downs or whatever. I will say, if that's the case, though, I don't really love what they have at D tackle. You know what I mean? Then that gets Jordan Elliott on the field more often. It gets, who's the other guy? Solomon Thomas on the field more often. It's still a weakness, I think. So interesting, but definitely you like having that flexibility.
All right, here's Sala talking.
No, that's a good question, a really good question. John, I think sometimes we try to pigeonhole players into all-encompassing. You're like, okay, this is, he's a D-end, and therefore he rushes as a D-end.
This is when he was the 49ers defensive coordinator, by the way. This is not a new interview. This surfaced recently. He didn't say he's going to use JFM.
Correct.
He said he has in the past.
Plays DN, and that's what he is. And I'm more in, I've always looked at players in terms of like, and just using John Franklin Myers for an example, unbelievable edge setter. Too small to play inside. I wouldn't say too small because I think he can do it, but you're wasting, you're asking a smaller guy to strain a little more than he needs to on the inside on rundowns. But if he's outside, he can be an absolute dominant force because he's so much bigger and stronger than tight ends.
That's the quote. That's the quote that matters.
Address this one from Brian. Look, I do think Bailey, like, he's more athletic, straight line speed, first step, explosiveness, first step get off.
Explosiveness is where he has the edge on Bain. That is true.
Yes, but when it comes to the change of direction, the ankle flexion that Graver's referring to, change of direction, I think Bain's got him beat there.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt in my mind. And the fact that he can do it in the stouter, thicker body and bend the corner way better than David Bailey can is impressive, and it speaks to what he could become. This was an interesting thing I saw last night, Justin, in the release video the Titans did. I'll come back to that one. Femi may be a sleeper. I wouldn't write him off. Now, look, I'm not writing him off either. But the fact that he's sitting on the couch next to Javon Kearse in the green room when Taylor Zarzor is going around meeting everybody, and Javon Kearse is talking about how he's taken Femi under his wing and like teaching him the way to, like, okay, my ears perked up a little bit when I saw that. Like, if Femi can be learning from Javon Kearse, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be okay. Here's the comment you wanted.
Yeah, Atlas. I mean, I do always revisit my process and try to learn and get better. I think you're doing it wrong if you're not. I think you're cheating it if you're not. And I'd like to think I've gotten better at it, and I've learned a lot of lessons along the way. I'm still going to be wrong every single year because I give you thoughts on 100, 200 different players. So I'm not going to get them all right, but I think I've done a pretty good job throughout my time.
And while I'm talking about Femi, which is completely antithetical to what you just, just not related to it. You just had your own conversation with Atlas there, and I'm going to take it back to what I was talking about. We got a comment from Iron Grids. Was it yesterday or the day before? I can't remember now. Really, really detailed, thought out, well thought out comment. Almost like what I used to do back on my MCM commenting days where I just like type a little bit. but talking about how the build of the edge room, when you are in the state that the team is currently in, that you actually need to find out what you have in some of the guys in that room, like Femi Oladejo, like Jermaine Johnson, who you just traded for 2 years removed from an Achilles tear in the final year of his contract. Is it the worst thing to just throw them out there and see how they do this year? Femi was a second round pick. It's not like he was a day three guy that you're hoping takes a massive leap. Like, a very athletic second round pick fell to the second round because not because of athleticism defaults or deficiencies, but because he's going to be playing a brand new position, essentially, that he only played for half the year, his final year of college. So the idea that maybe you do go into the season with this group without adding a premier guy that's going to bump everyone else down and just find out, what do you have? Can Femi be a starting level defensive end in this league? Is Jermaine Johnson worth re-signing next year, next offseason? It's a valid point to bring up. When the pivot is also building up your offense around your young quarterback and adding playmakers there. So I do think that was a great point made by Iron Grids in our comment section on a recent video, and I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to shout it out.
Absolutely. I went back and forth with him in the comment a little bit. I think that we had a good, fun, constructive conversation. I'm going to run through rapid fire some of these questions that I think might have been addressed to me. Any late round running back prospects we should keep an eye out for? No, because Graver's already seen the vision that they're drafting Jeremiah Love. No, all kidding aside, I don't know if he's late round, but I think he might be the fourth or fifth running back drafted, so it might check out. I like Emmett Johnson a lot out of Nebraska, super competitive. I like Jonah Coleman out of Washington quite a bit. Even later than that, I would say Adam Randall out of Clemson. He had a really nice pro day yesterday. Seth McGowan from Kentucky. I don't think he's going to be on the Titans board because he's got a pretty serious off-field issue in his past. But it was years ago. He bounced back really nicely at Kentucky this year. He had a great combine too. Like, the vertical and broad jumps were like historically impressive on Kentucky running back Seth McGowan. What's the hardest position to scout? Good question. maybe a weird answer from me, but I think tight end occasionally, just because what they ask tight ends to do at the next level is sometimes so different than what they're asked in college offenses. So trying to project that acclimation can be tough. I think offensive linemen, if you're not always aware of, you know, the schemes and the concept that that specific school is running, and it seems, and you've seen, like, there's a reason NFL teams are desperate for offensive talent every single year. I don't think college offenses are doing a great job preparing them for the NFL, and you're not getting a lot of offensive linemen who are acclimating quickly. So I think that's made it difficult, not just for me, but for NFL teams in general. I want to answer this one, but go ahead. Oh, you're on mute. You're on mute.
We have breaking news regarding the Titans' salary cap. So answer this question, and then we're going to hit it.
I saw the lot. I saw Zach tweet something out. Is that what you're going to refer to?
Yep.
Someone asked a question about that too earlier. I was going to get to it. So I don't know as well as Zach does, I'm sure, because he's a big salary cap guy. But question from Dalen. Who are you banging the table for on day three? Dalen, the two guys, I'm gonna talk about them so much throughout this process, you're going to get sick of me, that I'm ready to stand on the table for, and they had big combines, and I was standing on the table for them way before that, is Stephen A. Austin cornerback Charles Demings and Georgia Tech interior offensive lineman Keelan Rutledge, who, by the way, I almost got undressed when I heard that the Titans had a formal meeting with him at the combine and made sure to incorporate Carmen Brasillo, the O-line coach, on that one. I am infatuated with the guard out of Georgia Tech, Keelan Rutledge, and I'm infatuated with Charles Demings out of Stephen A. Austin. I'm never going to stop talking about those two prospects.
All right, here's the update. The Titans just got handed an additional, Zach's tweet says $20 million. The actual number is about $24 million in salary cap space, Justin. This is believed to be because of insurance that was bought on the contracts for Legarius Sneed and Calvin Ridley. So I'm not exactly sure what the next move here, the next domino to fall is, but the Titans have more cap space than we thought. They're about to get $24 million back. That puts them at $70 million in cap space remaining. Now, we're still waiting for a few details that are going to significantly impact that number, like John Franklin Myers and Mitch Trubisky and the guys they signed yesterday and even the day before that. We don't have the full breakdowns for how those affect the first-year cap or the first-year cap hits for 2026 yet. But that is a ton of money. The Titans could still go get somebody massive. I also saw a rumor that Juwan Jennings would like to play for the Titans. This was a rumor speculated based on what they've heard.
I got to address this one real quick, if you don't mind. Imagine not mentioning Mike Washington as a running back in the draft over Emmett Johnson. Imagine thinking that Justin Nello doesn't know who Mike Washington is. The question was about later round running backs. I think Mike Washington might be the second running back drafted after Jeremiah Love, after he ran a 4.33 at the combine and ran for 1,000 yards, pass yard Arkansas, and was really good at the Senior Bowl. It's down to him and Jadarian Price, Jeremiah Love's backup, ironically enough. In my opinion, for the RB2 role, the question was about late round backs. I don't think Mike Washington's going to be a late round back.
Hey, how about this, Mike Washington? Fumble less.
You did.
This guy's a fumbling machine.
A ball security issue, no doubt about it, but I think he's getting drafted pretty early.
Let's go get Bobby Okereke with our new money. Juwan Jennings, you are a Titan. Is there any O-line we can snag? I mean, Wyatt Teller's still on the market. Very, very good right guard. Veteran guy. Basically be Kevin Zeitler, but slightly younger. All this money, forget drafting him. Write Love a blank check. If only that worked, says 2252 Nemesis. Yeah, you know, before there was a NFL draft, you just like signed players out of college. That was a long time ago. Wyatt Teller on the board now. If we can't re-sign our boy, I assume being Zeitler, that comes from Alex Eckley. Justin, I feel like we're pretty much out of things to talk about today. Atlas says he would love Juwan Jennings, the third best blocking wide receiver in the league last year, I believe. Another sign to point to J Love at four. Look, the fact that Jennings hasn't signed anywhere yet tells me his price is probably not what he expected it to be. It's probably lower. And the Titans having an additional 20 to 24, whatever, million dollars in cap space. I mean, that's John Franklin Myers' contract per year. And then that's more than what the first year cap hit will be right there. It's like they got a player for free out of this. I don't know. I wouldn't be opposed. I would not be opposed. Get an X receiver that can block in the run game. That's Juwan Jennings. Who knows Robert Saleh? I mean, man, is there anything not to like about it? He's from Tennessee. Come on.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know that I have the answer to this question. Can y'all explain?
No. No, because this just happened. No. Why insuring star players has become a source of tension in the NFL, written by Kalen Kaler on September 18th, 2024. When Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles after four snaps last season, NFL agents and club employees went straight to their laptops to confirm something they suspected. There was no insurance addendum in Rodgers' contract. The Jets had renegotiated Rodgers' contract after trading for him and didn't buy an insurance policy to secure a portion of the $37 million in guaranteed money owed to the quarterback. Green Bay had a policy on Rodgers, but the Jets had no relationship with the broker who sold the Packers the policy. So essentially, it's something that you can work into the contract.
I've got a paragraph here from the ESPN article. The CBA labels insurance proceeds as a refund from the player, which qualifies the amount as a cap credit to the club for the following season. In the simplest terms, if a player eats up a significant portion of the salary cap and misses significant time with injury, a club doesn't have to take it as a total loss and can manage to recover cap space for the following year. Basically, it's an insurance premium that doesn't count against the salary cap. That is the crux of the loophole. You effectively can use cash to create cap space from scratch. Wow. Brilliant.
Atlas is wondering if that means Rand Carthon did something smart. Nope. Chad Brinker was the cap guy who negotiated these contracts. Chad Brinker did something smart. So all the people who hated Chad Brinker for literally absolutely no reason at all, you're welcome. You can thank him for this. Question, is Jennings good, starting worthy? Then again, look at what he did last season. Yes, Jennings is a starting caliber receiver. He's a wide receiver two, maybe three in this league. The Titans are collecting those. I mean, how many wide receiver two, maybe threes can the Titans have without having a wide receiver one? But you know what? Teams win Super Bowls without wide receiver ones. In fact, I feel like JSN was the first, I mean, Cooper Kupp, I guess. But like a lot of these, you go back and look at Tom Brady's Super Bowl teams, the one time he had a true wide receiver one, they lost to the Giants. Right?
Yeah,
in Randy Moss. So, I mean, it's great for fun, exciting play. It's great for having high-powered offenses. But if you look at the history of teams in the playoffs, and particularly the Super Bowl, like, teams that pay those wide receiver ones are not winning a lot of Super Bowls. So that's all I'll say. So maybe this is not an unideal build for the Titans roster. Okay, can we give Rand Rue about that insurance? Whoever bought the insurance on Ridley and Seed's contracts, can we give them what? Sorry, I shouldn't have put this comment up, but appreciate the thought, TQ. Yes, we are giving praise to Brinker for the insurance policy. Oh, this is a good point from Jacob Westerman. Brinker was in Green Bay when that Rodgers policy was chosen. So very interesting. Give that $20 million to NWI. What do you say, Justin?
Bring NWI back, at least for his ability to block on the boundary. That's going to do it, I think, for this episode of the Music City Audible. An hour 20 we were here, and there's still 300 of you in here. That's really incredible. We appreciate the support. Thank you so much, everyone, for the generous Super Chat tips, for hanging with us for over an hour. We didn't plan on going this long, but the Audible Army is the best, and you guys demanded it, so we stuck around as long as you guys were interested. So thank you so much for joining the live stream. We will be back on Monday with, I don't think, a live version of the pod, probably a regular version of the pod. But guess what? We're still going to talk about the Tennessee Titans, and it's going to be very similar to what we did today. So tune in on Monday for the next episode. Leave a comment below when this stream ends. Wait for it to end. Leave a comment. Helps get it into people's algorithms. Share the show. Thanks, everyone, for all the generous Super Chat tips. You were really incredible today. We greatly appreciate it. Maybe Graver can get the next model Tesla up after today's show. We thank you all so much. And we're all glad that you love the rebrand so much. That was the focus of today's show. We're in love with the rebrand. We love the jerseys. We love the logo. We love the hoodies. We can't wait for the new stadium. Until Monday, y'all stay safe out there and tighten up.
A Broadway Sports Media production.